Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, March 10th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318. Here are our top stories this evening.
Officials in the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai continue to widen with a new document penned by Youth Secretary General Promise Mkhwananzi, accusing the party of diverting from its founding principles.
We must, as a party, return the party to the values and the principles of constitutionalism. That is what we pride ourselves in. That is the distinction which is between ourselves and Zanu-PF. We want to see the constitution being followed to the letter and the spirit of the same.
A parliament today quizzed some of the country's top church leaders on rape and other crimes being committed under the guise of Christianity.
And the judgment last week by High Court Judge Nicholas Matonsi on the government's right to seize underutilized land divides opinion in the country.
Fissures in the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai continue to widen following the release of a document by Youth Secretary General Promise Mkhwananzi today, accusing the party of diverting from its founding principle of providing a democratic alternative to President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF. Mkhwananzi says the National Council meeting called by Mr. Tsvangirai last week was unconstitutional, adding therefore the suspension of Deputy Treasurer General Elton Mangoma from the party was unprocedural. He also accused Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa for dividing the party by mishandling party primary elections ahead of last year's polls and of misleading Mr. Tsvangirai that he was going to beat President Robert Mugabe in the disputed elections when he knew things on the ground looked otherwise. Over the weekend, Mr. Tsvangirai held two rallies in Chitungwiza and Mabvuku, where he told supporters that those refusing to toe the party line and calling on him to resign were free to leave the party. This was in apparent reference to Secretary General Tendai Biti, Mr. Mangoma and others who did not attend the two rallies. Biti told Studio 7 he did not have any comment. But Mkhwananzi spoke with reporter Ntunga Melinkomo about the issues he raised in his document.
We must, as a party, return the party to the values and the principles of constitutionalism. That is what we pride ourselves in. That is the distinction which is between ourselves and ZANU-PF. We want to see the constitution being followed to the letter and the spirit of the same.
Is there any action that you want taken against Mr. Tsvangirai and Mr. Chamisa for the reasons that you cited?
What we are saying is that the MDC must distinguish itself from ZANU-PF on the basis of the values and the principles of which it was formed. The MDC was formed to be a movement that is fundamentally different from ZANU-PF. And one of those fundamental differences was the internal democracy of the party, which in fact is meant to strengthen the divergent views that are resident in the MDC. As you all know, that the MDC has been a big church of divergent ideas, from the students' movement, the labor movement, the constitutional movement, the women's movement, the workers, and the peasants. And in that scenario, we need a strong internal democratic system in order to sustain the divergent views within the party and ensure that the party remains strong. That is the message that we are talking about.
Mr. Mwanzora says that you may fail to comprehend constitutional and legal matters because you did not finish your studies in law. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's very interesting for Mr. Munzura to celebrate my failure to complete my studies at the University of Zimbabwe after being expelled for fighting for academic freedoms in the country. Nonetheless, that is neither here nor there. The principles of the Constitution, they are basic. They don't need a lawyer. You need just to read and understand what the Constitution says. And the Constitution is very clear that we must have a two-thirds majority for a member of the National Standing Committee to be suspended. And clearly, it is really, to me, a cryptic puzzle how the National Chairman, Mr. Moyo, arrived at the nominal two-thirds that are prescribed in the Constitution.
That was MDCT Youth Assembly Secretary General Promise Mkwananzi on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. But party spokesman Douglas Munzura dismisses Mkwananzi's document.
What we know is that this is a document that has been written in competition to many documents that are meant to denigrate our President Tsvangirai. There is absolutely no logic in that document. It's 8 pages long, and the moment you write a legal argument which is 8 pages long, we say that you are losing the case. The issue here is that President Tsvangirai and the National Council sat together with 142 people. And they made a decision. And the decision is that there are serious allegations being raised against our Deputy Treasurer General. We did not want to come to conclusions about those allegations. We therefore referred him to the Independent Disciplinary Tribunal, made up of 3 lawyers who are outside the MDC, so that he clears himself. This is what our Constitution says, Article 12. It allows us to suspend our member and refer him to the disciplinary committee. The disciplinary committee may find him innocent, may find him guilty, or may try to impose a less penalty. That's up to the disciplinary committee. But people must subject themselves to the laws of the party. This is what we mean by rule of law. Rule of law means you must follow your laws, you must answer your charges, and you must clear yourself.
Is the party going to take any action against Mr. Mkwananzi over this document and also the Secretary General, Mr. Tendai Biti, over his press conference on Friday?
Firstly, let me deal with our Secretary General. Our only considered opinion is that the press conference was held in a moment where our Secretary General must have been angry and frustrated. And therefore, it was a press conference that, in all fairness, he probably regrets. But our Secretary General was emotional, I think. But after everything is said and done, we know that when he cools down, the good lawyer in him will come out. He's an intelligent man. He's a very, very good lawyer. And when he cools down, the good lawyer in him is going to come out.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Munzura in Harare. Political analyst Charles Mtasa thinks the scabbles in the MDCT party could signal another split similar to the one in 2005.
I think the MDC is heading for another split given the different factions and thoughts that are coming out from the actions that we have seen over the past couple of weeks. There are two different views about how to handle the issue of leadership, particularly following the letter written by Mr. Mangoma.
Can we say Mr. Tendai Biti, as the Secretary General of the party, has failed to steer the ship?
I don't think we can completely say he has, as a Secretary General, failed to steer the ship, but that the leadership as a whole have failed to come to grips with their defeat of the 31st of July 2013, and that the ZANU-PF party has been able to keep them out of power for long, and they seem to be now a tired kind of army which is now looking at themselves and overdoing some introspection of themselves.
That was independent political analyst Charles Mtasa in Seattle, Washington State, here in the United States.
Meanwhile, the wrangle for MDCT leadership in Matabeleland North continues, with party spokesman Douglas Munzura today confirming the party endorsed the former provincial organizing secretary Thembi Nkosi Sibindi as acting chairman, having replaced Sengezo Chabangu a fortnight ago when a new interim committee was formed. But Chabangu says the party secretary general Tendai Biti has written to him confirming he is still the chairman of the province, as the dissolution of the Matabeleland North Provincial Committee a fortnight ago was unconstitutional and therefore null and void. But Bindi, a former Victoria Falls mayor and former Wange East legislator, says the National Council barred Mr. Chabangu and his parallel committee from attending last week's meeting in favor of him and his newly elected members, a confirmation that the party accepted him as the new chairman.
I'm elected to really steer debate in our movement. I'm not there as a bootlicker. I'm not there to be used by anybody. I fear nobody. I debate issues as they come because I want the people of Matabele Land to benefit, because we thought MDC was going to be an alternative government. And I think we still pursue that the MDC is an alternative to ZANU-PF. But if they subvert the will of the people, if the MDC that I represent does not create, cultivate the culture of debate, then the people like us, we are not going to stand and watch a movement that was underpinned by the principles and values of democracy go down. So I'm one of those people, not necessarily leadership renewal. If it was a leadership renewal, what's wrong with that in a democratic party like an institution like MDC? I don't think it's anything wrong.
Are you part of the people who started this debate together with Mr. Mangom?
No. Look, I don't belong to the view, and I don't belong to Mangoma. I belong to the movement. But all what I'm saying, I stand and I will be protected by the Constitution.
Tell us more about the letter from the Secretary General. In this case, whom are you supposed to take instructions from?
In terms of our Constitution, Secretary General receives all correspondence. He also disseminates the information to all provinces, to national. He is the center. He is at the center of communication. So as far as I'm concerned, the issue of Matabele Land North has been set aside by that letter that came from the Secretary General. The Secretary General, when he writes on behalf of the party.
Would like to apologize for that mix-up. That, in fact, was Sengeso Chabangu, who says he did not attend the National Council meeting last Friday because he arrived late with some provincial leaders. Here now we speak to former Victoria Falls Mayor and former Wange East legislator, Mr. Sbindi, who says that he still is the party Matabele Land North chairman.
So the correct position from our people is that I am the interim chairman of Matabele Land up to the Congress. Chabangu, we must not talk about him in history now. He is still our party member, but is no longer chair of the Matabele Land North Province. I had a meeting on Saturday with the Provincial Management Committee, and we have set the date for full executive on the 29th of March, because we have got programs which must run. Anyone who is missing Chabangu is not an MDCT, because the structure for MDCT is led by me. Chabangu is busy. I don't know what he's doing, talking to other people. He must not confuse our supporters. Who calls for provincial council is the provincial executive. Provincial executive is chaired by him, Chaba. But when we called him for a meeting with provincial executive, all district chairperson, Chaba left the meeting. He did not come. So the provincial executive went on to the national to ask for that meeting, and the meeting was approved according to the Constitution. There is no way, Chaba, we know that what he has done to the structures, not what he has done to the history. That's why he refused to come to the meeting. In Harare, when the president met the district chairperson, the district put it clear that they moved the motion to remove him. And it was clear that we must come back to the province. We convened the provincial council meeting. We discussed the Chabangu issue, and we decided to boycott. And the election went ahead because even all national, some national members were there. And witnessed the people voting according to the Constitution.
But the party's Secretary General concurs with Mr. Chabangu. What exactly is going on?
Really, I don't want to talk about Secretary General, because these days I'm scared about talking those issues. That letter which Chabangu came is a fake letter. Whether it was written by Secretary General or Chabangu and his team is another thing.
That was Thembi Nkosi Sbindi, acting MDC Matabele Land North chairman, on the line from Hwange.
Meanwhile, Bulawayo High Court Judge Justice Lawrence Kamocha has overturned the MDCT's decision to fire three of its councillors from Victoria Falls on allegations of voting for a ZANU-PF mayoral candidate by declaring them legitimate members of the party in a ruling which also interdicts local government minister Ignatius Chombo from sacking them as councillors pending the exhaustion of all internal party conflict resolution processes.
The judgment last week by High Court Judge Nicholas Matonsi on the right for government to seize underutilized land is continuing to cause friction in the country. Matonsi made the ruling in a case in which Mutare businessman and ZANU-PF member Fungari Chauruka, was contesting the withdrawal of his offer letter for failure to utilize the 498-hectare Mazoe farm in Manicaland. The farm was reallocated to previous owner Heather Gold. ZANU-PF member and former cabinet minister Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that he does not agree with the judgment as it sets a dangerous precedent.
The principle that land must be put to full utilization is good, but it is the process by which an authority reaches a judgment that this farm is being properly utilized or that farm is not being properly utilized, which can lead to unintended consequences. The new constitution provides good and sufficient protection to people who are allocated land to the extent that it guarantees them against arbitrary eviction by authority. So what I'm saying is that the judge should have gone further to say before the ministry can repossess that land, there must be a due process. There must be a judicial process to determine whether or not someone is deliberately underutilizing the land. One cannot say we will take over the land because you're said utilized in an economy where there are no credit facilities. How do you expect people to utilize land when farming is such a capital intensive kind of business which requires credit facilities? Even during the colonial times, we had the AFC, which was the Agricultural Farming Corporation, to assist farmers obtain loans. Now, you can't have a situation where there are no loan facilities, farmers cannot borrow money, and then you take over the land on the basis of underutilization. The state has an obligation to provide financial resources to its farmers world over to ensure that they can remain on the land. Everyone knows that farming is not a very profitable venture, and you need subsidies.
But Mr. Mangwana, your critics on the issue of financing agriculture might say that some farmers were actually given loans by banks and they could not pay back the loans. And as a result, for banks, it's a business. And this is why they are reluctant to fund agriculture.
I agree that there's some people who misuse the money. But by and large, one must also take into account that Zimbabwe has not had very good rains in the last 4 years. Can't fault the farmer if he has put all the money into the soil and unfortunately God did not meet his side of the bargain by providing the necessary rain.
That was ZANU-PF member and former cabinet minister Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana in Harare speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. But economist Dr. Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says he agrees with the judgment.
I think in the first instance, it's important to note that we overly romanticized the land issue and gave the impression that by parceling out the land to those that wanted it, automatically productivity will actually be achieved. But I think the reality is dawning that it takes much more than just simply parceling out a piece of land, you know, to make it really productive. So in essence, therefore, land reform should not necessarily imply that everyone should actually be given land. In fact, it should be based on your ability to utilize that land effectively and your own desire to basically interest in land. So in other words, agriculture is a vocation. It's a real calling. And someone who gets a piece of land, given that it's a national asset, not just for this current generation, but also for future generations.
But the new farmers are saying that they are not having access to loans from the banks, and this is the reason why the land is not being utilized.
In fact,
the process must be such that people will look at what you are doing. You can easily see that this one is trying. This one has got a real vocation, is on a mission. They've got a calling to be in agriculture. But you can also get to a point where you see someone who is just basically squatting on a piece of land and not doing anything. So as you know, basically the land issue is supposed to be brought to a closure through a land audit. And hence, basically, the process won't be automatic. It will be through examination of what you are doing currently with even the piece of land. You can see someone who is productive, even when they are using a small part of the land.
That was economist Dr. Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe on the line with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Parliament today quizzed some of the country's top church leaders on rape and other crimes being committed under the guise of Christianity. Ivan Chifera has details from the capital.
Father Edward Ndete of the Zimbabwe Catholic Bishops' Conference, Reverend Lindani Duyo of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe Council of Churches General Secretary Reverend Solomon Zwana appeared before the Senate Thematic Committee on Gender and Development today and said they are also concerned by unruly elements using the name of the church to commit heinous crimes, including rape. They urged the authorities to fully investigate and punish perpetrators when such reports reach them. The three church leaders were invited to Parliament to speak on what the church in Zimbabwe is doing to combat domestic violence and rape in churches. Ndete, who is the Catholic Church's parliamentary liaison officer, told the Senate Thematic Committee that the church will not harbor criminals, promising to cooperate with authorities once the need arose.
It doesn't matter even if it is a bishop, priest, whoever. If he commits a crime, you will have to go to the local ordinary courts for determination. No church is going to hide, harbor any criminal. So a crime is a crime no matter who has committed. Nobody is above the law in this country. That is our belief in our churches. And that's why we have allowed the cases cited to proceed to court without harboring or hiding anything or anybody.
Responding to questions on the church's position regarding cases of rape and abuse of women that have been occurring in some churches, Duwe said the Evangelical Fellowship of Zimbabwe is advocating for stiffer penalties for culprits.
You don't expect a human being to violate somebody's right by way of committing rape. Even animals have the courtesy of asking for fellowship. So definitely it would be a joy to see stiffer and deterrent sentences meted out to people, particularly those who habitually want to involve themselves in rape. And as well, I suppose, as Dr. Zwana mentioned, the issue of values and morals. I think it would be very, very key for people to develop morals.
He said this is why the three organizations, representing over 450 churches, issued a statement condemning activities in the RMG Independent Church, whose leader, Robert Kumbura, was recently jailed for 40 years for raping church members. The three said they are concerned by the general moral decay in the country, adding they are exploring ways of turning the situation around. Zwana said the church is extremely worried about some people whom he said are using the church to extort and exploit people. He said some church leaders are taking advantage of the fact that many in the country are desperate for spiritual and economic solutions, as they are finding it easy to exploit them.
Why is it people are becoming so gullible? And it's certainly not because they are dull. They are not dull. But, you know, sometimes people, you know, sort of brainwash you into certain things when you are desperate. And so it's important, you know, this would be our appeal, that, you know, maybe we really need to look at, you know, the social issues that are bedeviling our people and try to see how best they can be addressed so that they don't continue to fall victim, because everybody is looking for a bag of money to fall from above.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone promises it, then you just fall for it.
The three said most cases of abuse occurred in indigenous churches adding they are engaging church leaders in this community to stop the evil practice of raping or abusing women under the guise of religion. Apostolic Christian Council of Zimbabwe leader Johannes Ndanga said his organization is equally concerned and will not hesitate to call the police where crimes would have been committed. He said his organization is doing all it can to provide security to congregants and ensure that the image of the church is not tainted by criminals masquerading as church leaders. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You are listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
Two youths from pressure groups in Matabeleland under the banner of the Mtwakazi Joint Resolution Command were today found guilty of public nuisance for demonstrating last year, against the power utility ZESA, which they accused of hiring people from outside the region. The youth leaders, Busani Sibindi and Mkondisi Moyo, were the only two members of the 23-strong protest group who were found guilty. They will be sentenced tomorrow. Their lawyer, Tumisani Dube, told Studio 7 he will appeal the ruling in the Constitutional Court because he feels that his client's rights to demonstrate have been violated.
No, I know. Busani Sibindi and Mkondisi were found guilty for contravening Section 5 of the Public Order Security Act, that is, failing to notify the regulating authority, who is the commanding officer in charge of Lower South, of the intention to hold that demonstration or march sometime last year. And as a result of that conviction, he remanded them in custody for sentencing, which is going to be done tomorrow. Then the rest of the group, including Busani and Mkondisi, were pitted on the charge of contravening Section 46 of the Human Process and Evidence Act, which is a criminal nonsense, subscription fee and F.
Are you going to appeal?
I'm going to, whatever the outcome, I'm going to appeal because this issue raises constant issues. They have a constant right to demonstrate in the position, and that particular section of POSA limits that right. And throughout the trial, we've raised these constant issues. At one particular instance, we sought a referral to the Constitutional Court, which was turned down. And so whatever the case, we're going to take the matter to the Constitutional Court. Because clearly it does not make sense to convict people on the basis that the deponents of the petition. He said the only problem was that the ones who signed that petition, which was in, according to him, it was in pay test, very tribalistic, and inciting tribal hatred and as such, he felt it was the basis of his determination.
That was Dumisani Dube, a lawyer. He spoke to Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
And in sports news, the 2014 Premier Soccer League season is in danger of beginning without a sponsor. The new season has been moved to begin in April as negotiations continue. Reporter Michael Cariati has details.
Premier Soccer League chairman Twine Piri says the Premier Soccer League are still to agree terms with their sponsors Delta Beverages, who have been bankrolling the league for the past 3 years. Piri said negotiations are still in progress, adding that they are hopeful that the beverage manufacturers will extend their sponsorship, whose three-year term ended last season.
No, true. I'll go and speak to them. I'll go and speak to Delta. I know they will come on board.
The Premier Soccer League Supremo revealed that because of the negotiations, the league will be delayed for another month and will only resume in April. Traditionally, the Premier Soccer League program begins during the first week of March and ends on November 30. Delta Beverages marketing manager Patricia Murambinda is on record saying they are considering extending their sponsorship to the Premier Soccer League.
This agreement is for 3 years, and if things go on very well.
Piri won the Premiership Championship yesterday after beating Dynamo Skenimbayiwa by 12 votes to 3. He said the Premier Soccer League will this season introduce another knockout tournament, which will involve all the 16 teams that make up the Premier Soccer League family.
Within the 3 years, I managed to bring in 4 sponsors, and now I've got one more.
Should the Premier Soccer League fail to agree terms with Delta Beverages, this will be the second time in Zimbabwean football history that the league has gone without a sponsor. In 2010, Mot Action were not rewarded for winning the league championship, while their player Charles Banda received nothing for being crowned the Soccer Star of the Year due to the absence of a sponsor. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariat.
Thank you. That's all we had for you for tonight. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris, rather with Ntungamili and Standekile Mhlanga. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington bidding you good night.
And remember, for our live talk today, we are discussing the conflict afflicting the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai. Is the party heading for another split?